Kowalski.
So we are here from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 8. The chapter of Bharat Maharaj, verse 31. Tasmin api kalam pratekshamana samvatsara vrishami.
Tasmin api kalam pratekshamana samvatsara vrishami.
Udvigna atma sahachara sushka parasantrana viruddha.
Udvigna atma sahachara sushka parasantrana viruddha.
Vatmanam mridatvani vidvasam eva nanayam.
Vatmano Rivatana Mitsavasana Nivaganaya
Mrida Sariram Tirtolaha Klinam Utsasaja
Mrida Sariram Tirtolaha Klinam Utsasaja
Klinam Utsasaja
Tasmin api kalam pratik samana Sangacharisham udvigna atma sahacharaha
Sangacharisham
udvigna atma sahacharaha Suksaparnachinaviruddha Vatmano
Suksaparnachinaviruddha Vatmano
Rigatvanitas Fasanam Evaganayam Mriga Saryam Tirtodaka Klinan Utsasarja
Mriga Saryam Tirtodaka Klinan Utsasarja. What for me? Tasmin api
In the ashram of Pulaha Ashram,
the end of the duration of life in the dear body.
The end of the duration of life in the dear body.
Pratikshamana.
Always waiting for.
Sangat.
From association.
Cha.
And.
Risham.
Constantly.
Udvigna.
Of anxiety.
Atma
sahacharaha.
Having the super soul as the only constant companion. No one should think of being alone.
Shushka
prana parna trina viruddha.
Suksa parna trina viruddha.
By eating only the dry leaves and herbs.
Vatmanaha
existing.
Mridatva nimitta
of the cause of dear's body.
Avasanam
the end.
Deva
only.
Ganayam
considering.
Mridasariram
the body of a dear.
Tirtha udhata klinam
bathing in the water of that holy place.
Utsasarja
Deva. Remaining in that ashram, the great king Bharat Maharaj was not very careful not to fall victim to bad association. Without disclosing his past to anyone, he remained in that ashram and ate dry leaves only. He was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the super soul. In this way, he waited for death in the body of a deer. Bathing in that holy place, he finally gave up that body. Holy places like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Prayag and Jagannathpuri are especially meant for the execution of devotional service. Vrindavan specifically is the most exalted and preferred dwelling place for Vaishnava devotees of Lord Krishna who are aspiring to return back to Godhead, the Vaishnava Sannyas. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who regularly bathe in the Yamuna, and this ends all the manifestation of material body. By constantly chanting and hearing the holy names and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, one certainly becomes purified and becomes a fit candidate for liberation. However, if one purposely falls victim to sense gratification, he has to be punished at least for one lifetime, like Maharaj.
So
One has to reside in the old places like Vrindavan and Mayapur, especially in Kaliyuga. These are the two places which are very prominent. And of this, Prabhupada is mentioning Vrindavan is most dear to the Vaishnava devotees. Because it is mentioned that in Vrindavan, one, even if a thief goes, he cannot remain a thief. Because there are two things which are very prominent in Vrindavan, and it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam in the series of 21st chapter, 26th chapter, it is mentioned in 10th canto. There are two things which are very special about Vrindavan. The first thing is the water bodies. You see different kundas there, in the lakes, the ponds. So these different water bodies are very spiritual. So anyone who takes bathes in those water, sprinkles the water from the spoons, or immediately becomes spiritualized. So this is one of the things which we see in River Yamuna. So it is mentioned that three things are there eternally in Vrindavan. Even at the time of Krishna it was present, and even though if we are not on the perfection level, we can still experience those three things. One is the dust of Vrindavan. We can still experience the dust of Vrindavan. It is the same dust which was there when Krishna was present. The second is Giriraj Govardhan. Giriraj Govardhan was there in the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna had many of the pastimes on Giriraj. And you know, in the Yajna and all those pastimes. So, Giriraj Govardhan is still the same. We can still experience with our naked, our contaminated, our conditioned eyes. So, dust of Vrindavan, Giriraj Govardhan, and the third one is River Yamuna. It is still the same. It is still the same when Krishna was here, and they are eternally there, present in Vrindavan. Even if one is not perfect, they can still experience these three things. So it is mentioned that we have to take shelter of Rajadham, and there are five gatekeepers of Rajadham. We need their mercy. Because Vrindavan, we have to understand, it's in Prakatila and Aprakatila. Now, Prakatila is something which we can see with our conditioned eyes. And Aprakatila is something which we cannot experience by in our conditioned state. One has to be pure to understand. And we can, many gurus, acharyas have given commentary on the pastimes which are going on in Vrindavan even today. Because of their purity, they can experience those pastimes, they can experience the nature, the Aprakatila which are going on in Vrindavan. So there are two things I was mentioning, there are two things which are very important in Vrindavan. The first thing is the water bodies, and the second thing is the breeze, the sweet breeze which goes around Vrindavan. Even if one goes there, he can experience that breeze of Vrindavan, he can experience the water bodies. So it is mentioned that to enter and experience that Aprakatila, there are five gatekeepers, we need the mercies of these five gatekeepers of Vrindavan. The first one is the dust of Vrindavan. Unless we get the dust of mercy of the dust of Vrindavan, we cannot even enter Vrindavan. What to speak of experiencing the pastimes of Vrindavan? It is mentioned, Srila Prabhupada makes this point, we should see Vrindavan through the eyes as Akrura saw Vrindavan when he entered Vrindavan. In the Akrura pastime, we see Kamsa had interested Akrura to go and bring Krishna to Mathura. So there was a whole new rath cart in chariot made full of gold to bring Krishna to Mathura. Kamsa wanted Krishna to come to Mathura so that it becomes easy to kill Krishna. So he sent Akrura. And Akrura was thinking, he is so fortunate to be able to go to Vrindavan to bring Krishna. So when he enters on the banks of Vrindavan, outskirts of Vrindavan, he sees the dust of Vrindavan and he sees the footsteps of Krishna in the dust of Vrindavan. So immediately he falls down on the ground and starts rolling in the dust of Vrindavan. Because throughout his journey was meditating on the pastime on what Krishna would be like. He was thinking about his fortune, how Fortunately was that he was able to, he was going to meet Krishna. And when he saw those footprints, immediately, so there is no difference between the footprints and Krishna himself. There is no difference between the dust of Vrindavan and Krishna himself. Prabhupada makes this point here, saying that one should see, one should enter Vrindavan through the, as Akura entered Vrindavan, one should immediately fall on the, in the dust of Vrindavan. So, and Prabhupada is making that one should immediately fall down and smear the dust of Vrindavan over his body. Also, Krishna, Srila Prabhupada makes this another point that once he mentioned 5 plus 5 is 10, and Krishna plus everything is Vrindavan. So, Prabhupada makes this point, the importance of Vrindavan and the dust of Vrindavan. So, as you mentioned, the three things which are still the same right from the pastime, even in the pastimes of Krishna. The dust of Vrindavan, River Yamuna, and Giriraj, Govardhan. They are still the same. They were there at the time of Krishna's pastime, and they are still there, which we can experience. Even in our conditioned state, we can experience those things. So, the first gatekeeper is the dust of Vrindavan. We need the mercy of this gatekeeper, the five gatekeepers. So, the first one is the dust of Vrindavan. We need the mercy of. The second gatekeeper is sacred river Yamuna. Without the mercy of Yamuna Devi, we cannot experience Vrindavan, we cannot enter into the pastimes, we cannot witness the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. So, it is mentioned, once river Yamuna removes all the contamination one has, just by bathing, as Prabhupada is mentioning in this purport, just by bathing the river of Yamuna, one gets relieved from all the material contamination. And Prabhupada makes another point saying that one should have the habit of meditating and bathing in the waters of river Yamuna every day. So every day one should meditate by taking bath, that is taking bath in the waters of river Yamuna. So that the Prabhupada makes this point that two things are important, taking bath in the river Yamuna and chanting Hare Krishna. And one thing is to go back home, back to God. So one should always make this point of meditating on worship Mother Yamuna so that one can enter the Raja. And then third gatekeeper is Gopeshwara Mahadev. So there are many pastimes where Mahadev wanted to enter into the Leela of Radha and Krishna. And then Mahadev approached Vrindadevi. And Vrindadevi asked Mahadev to take part in Man Sarovar, and then he became Gopeshwara Gopi. But again, Krishna understood who Gopeshwara Gopi was. So he asked Mahadev to stay in the outskirts of Rasamandala and guard so that no Purushabhav, no other person, the Purushabhav can enter into the Raj. So Gopeshwara Mahadev, we see in different parts of Vrindavan, he is still present. He is still guarding the waters of Raj. So we need the mercy of Mahadev. Vaishnavana Yatha Sambhu is the topmost Vaishnava. So we need the mercy of Mahadev to enter Vrindavan. So Gopeshwara Mahadev is present as Gopeshwara Mahadev in Vrindavan, and then he is Gopeshwara Mahadev in Mathura, Kameshwara Mahadev in Kamravan, Chakreshwara Mahadev in Govardhan, and Nandeshwara Mahadev in Nandanam. So we see different places he is present, and without his mercy we cannot enter Vrindavan. The fourth one, being the gatekeeper of Vrindavan, is Purnamasi, the Divine Yoga Maya Potency. Now, this is very interesting. Purnamasi, nobody knows where she originated from, in Brajalila. But she appeared when Krishna was born. And she's called Masi. Masi means mother's sister. India, culturally, Masi is known as mother's sister. So she was either, the description of Purnamasi is given that all her hair are grey, and she is old and wise, and she is a good astrologer. So everyone knows that anything to do with astrology or suggestion or anyone wants to do anything auspicious, they will approach Purnamasi and take the guidance. So there is another pastime where Rishabhanu Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj, because we see right from childhood, Srimati Radharani was going to Nandiram to cook for Krishna, and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj liked Radharani very much. So they approached. So once when Radharani had come to Nandiram to cook for Krishna, Yashoda Maharaj just put some haldi in the Vedic culture. If you put haldi on any of the girls' arms, like arms, then that means that you have accepted her as your daughter-in-law. So she put haldi and kumkum on the palms of Radharani. And Radharani was very young at that time, she did not know what that means. But when she was going back, Lalita and Vishakhadri told her that this means that you are already married to Krishna now. Because Mother Yashoda has accepted you as a daughter-in-law. And she became very afraid. And while going back to Vajana, there is a pond, as I said, whole of Vrindavan is full of bodies of water, ponds, lakes, kundas. So while going back, there is one pond where Radharani washes her palms so that to get it, so not to show anyone that Mother Yashoda has already accepted her as daughter-in-law. So she washed that in that pond, and that pond is still yellowish in color till day. Pidya Gomila, something that is called like that. Pidya Gomila. Pilipoka. Pilipoka. Yeah. So that kund is still there. And then Mother Kirtida got the news of this, and she approached Yashoda Maharaj, and Vishwanatha Maharaj approached Nanda Maharaj, and they decided, okay, it's a good pair, right? Krishna and Radha, they both like each other, and they are both fit because they both have got all the good qualities. So they arranged for the marriage of Radha and Krishna. And now, the day before this marriage was going to happen, Purnamasi comes in. Because Braja, the relationship between Radha and Krishna is not a sakya, it's a parakya law. So there is no way Radha and Krishna can marry. So what did Purnamasi tell Prithvira Sundari and Rishabhanu Maharaj? That this marriage is very inauspicious. If this marriage takes place, it will be very difficult for the for Krishna and Radharani. So this marriage in whatever condition should not take place at all. This is not at all auspicious pair. And they were afraid, like nothing should happen to Radha and nothing should happen to Krishna. So they said, okay, what is the option? And Purnamasi said, there is another person who is very auspicious, and the marriage should happen tonight itself. And he suggested Abhimanyu. And the marriage happened, and that's how Radha got married to Abhimanyu. Of course, Abhimanyu is none other than Krishna's shadow. But so like that, the marriage is going to happen between Radha and Krishna, but at the end moment, Purnamasi changed the whole scenario. So the point here is, Purnamasi is very important in Brajalila. She is not an ordinary person, she is the divine potency, she is Yogamaya herself. It is so that she has got the power to bewilder even Krishna himself. Of course, the will of Krishna himself, but Krishna puts himself under Yogamaya so that he can enjoy the pastime, so that he can forget his Ishvara Bhava, so they can forget that he is God himself, Supreme God himself. So, Purnamasi is very important. There is another pastime which happens in. Everyone knows Kutila, Jatila and Kutila. So, Jatila is Krishna's mother in law. So, once this is after marriage of Radharani. Once Jatila got a news that Krishna has come to meet Radharani in Java. Java is a place where Radharani is in laws are Jatila Kundalini. So Jatila is a mother. So once Jatila Gauram means that Krishna is come to meet Radha Rani. So she ran to the house and opened the door. Krishna somehow just managed to escape from that place. But there is a fragrance of Krishna which couldn't leave. So Jatila came to know that Krishna was present here because she could smell Krishna. So she started searching in the house. And when she was searching, she found a flute. Flute of Krishna. And she immediately said, see, Krishna was here. So she went to the marketplace shouting, I've caught Krishna, I've caught Krishna. Look at this, I found the flute of Krishna. So she started shouting and gathering all the people. Immediately Purnamasi comes there. And Purnamasi said, no, this is nothing. Because this kind of flute you will find in each and every house. Because last night there was a rain and it was a flute rain. And the flutes were found in each and everyone's bedroom. And everyone went to the bedroom and they found exactly the same flute in each and everyone's house. And they all said, yeah, it's true. We had a flute rain last night. And this is the flute. So the point is, Purnamasi is very powerful. So we need the mercy of Purnamasi to enter. She is one of the gatekeepers. So we need the mercy of Purnamasi to enter. Right. And the last one, the fifth one is Vrinda Devi. Vrinda Devi is always dressed in blue color and she has got a blue lotus in her left hand. And in the right hand she has got a bag. Do you know what is the bag for? If you go to Vrindavan, there is a beautiful Devanandu Prabhu has made a beautiful temple of Vrinda Devi, and you see she is always dressed in blue, and on the right hand she has got on a bag. That bag has got seeds for the parrots, and Vrinda Devi has got millions and millions of parrots who are like in the mundane time terms, it's a WhatsApp of Raja. Much more, many more features than WhatsApp has. But Vrinda Devi has got many parrots and she carries the bag which has got the seeds to feed the parrots. Every morning these parrots go around Vrindavan, go around the palace of Vishwanatha Maharaj and Nanda Maharaj, and they bring the news what needs to be done, what dress Krishna is wearing, what dress Radharani is wearing, where are they going to go before their pastimes. And Vrinda Devi arranges from that place, Vrinda Devi arranges for different flowers, fruits, the colors to manifest. Wherever Krishna is going to match their clothing, to match. You see, whenever we dress Radha and Krishna here, we match the entire background and everything. So this is the work of Vrinda Devi in Vraja. So she knows what Krishna wants to eat, where Krishna wants to go, and how is he dressed for it. So in that mood, she decorated Vrindavan. So she is one of the gatekeepers. And Srila Prabhupada has actually given us to sing Tulsi prayers twice in the day. Every morning we sing. After Mangalarti, every evening we sing Tulsi prayers. So it is very important that we get the mercy of Tulsi Maharaj, Morai, Abhilas, Vilas Kunji, Vyavas. We should pray to Tulsi Maharaj that please allow us to enter into the Braj. So the point is, we cannot go or enter Vrindavan by our material means. It is only by the mercy of this five gatekeepers we will be able to enter. And we saw last year, many of the devotees who travel to Vrindavan every year, but last year no one was able to go. So we need the mercy, we need to pray to this five gatekeepers so that we can enter Vrindavan, we can go to Vrindavan. It's very important. So this was from the translation Prabhupada makes, in the translation remaining in the ashram. So this is what Bharat Maharaj did. He remained in the holy place. Next quote is Bharat Maharaj did. Remaining in the ashram, the great king Bharat Maharaj was now very careful. Very careful not to fall victim of bad association. So this is another point. One has to be very careful by practicing devotional service. In the Puranas it is mentioned the path of spiritual life is like walking on the razor's edge. Why is most people's life should be easy. But why is it mentioned that this is like walking on the razor's edge? Because of our conditioned nature, we can fall down at any moment. If we are not careful in our practices, we can easily fall down. We have to be always vigilant. We have to be very careful. As Bharat Maharaj in the real body, this mention was very careful in that body. He did not do a single mistake right at the time of birth. He just left his mother and went to the ashram and associated with the devotees. So it is very important, and this point we have to understand while practicing devotional life, if we are, we always have to endeavor for something more rather than being satisfied with whatever services or whatever sadhana we are doing. Because what happens is, this is from my personal experience, I can tell, like for exercise I walk to work, and when I walk, it's like if I start walking after 6 months or something, 5 kilometers is a big distance. 5-6 kilometers I walk is a big distance. But after a while, after a few weeks or months, you don't even realize you walk 6 kilometers. It becomes normal. And even your body, like when you start doing some exercise, the weight and all that, you feel healthy. But after a while, if you are doing those things every day, it just becomes normal. Your body doesn't even feel that. So similarly in the devotional life, when we are practicing devotional life, we are chanting our rounds, we are doing sadhana, we have made a schedule, and we are following that schedule every day, it becomes a routine. And there is a tendency that we might, if we are not vigilant, if we are not careful, we might, it becomes a mechanical process. So we always have to be goal-seeking and not routine person or mechanical person. We see person who is wanting to run for Olympics. The score is like one can run 100 meters, sprint 100 meters for 7 seconds or something like that. If a person is practicing for Olympics, his goal is not to run that 100 meters in 6.9 seconds. He will keep practicing, and as soon as he runs 100 meters sprint for 6.9 seconds, he doesn't stop it. What is doing? He keeps practicing for even better score. Keeps practicing, he wants to do it in 6 seconds or 5 seconds or 4 seconds if possible. But he will try for that. So the point is, we should never be slack in our sadhana. We should always try to be goal-seeking rather than just become mechanical. So one has to endeavor for more. And how can we do that? Bharat Maharaj was very careful not to forget of bad association. And Prabhupada has made so many points in this whole chapter. We see one of the points which comes up is, why did Bharat Maharaj fall down? Because of the association of a deer. And because he couldn't take association of other Vaishnavas who could point to them that he was diverted from his father's son. So it is very important that we not fall into the bad association, and we always have the association of advanced devotees or devotees who can instruct us. So, methods, instruction, Bhutte Samhitas, Srila Rupa Goswami gives like this. Second and third verse, he mentions this point twice. He mentions this, one should not have the association, bad association, otherwise, the subject of Yamanasana. His bhakti will fall down. And third was also, he mentions this, Sandhya Sato, that mentioned this twice. For increasing bhakti, one has to give up bad association, and Sato, that one has to associate with pure devotees. So, Rupa Goswami, the nectar of instruction is very important. Like in the first 3-4 verses itself, the whole philosophy, Rupa Goswami, is a small book, but it's very powerful for devotees. Practicing devotees, because it gives you the entire philosophy, what one should do and what one shouldn't do. And also, Srila Prabhupada once person asked how to become a pure devotee. In answer, Prabhupada mentioned how to become a drunkard. You associate with a person who is drinking and you become a drunkard. So, if you, and he was pointing to the disciples, all the Western disciples, he said, if you associate with this, pure devotees, you will already become pure devotees. is another point of Vishwarupa Maharaj. And then what did he do? He without disclosing this past to anyone, he remained in that ashram and ate dry meats only. So this is another point which is important, is one should perform some level of austerity is required in practicing devotional life. One cannot, again, going back to Rupa Goswami, he's mentioned, So one has to follow these Vedas. One has to control these Vedas. One has to control them. So some level of austerity, sense control is important in devotional life. And that's why we got Ekadashi Vrata. It's not for there's one thing I would like to ask in that, I'm not sure how Bonaparte has achieved that we eat in pizza. Bonaparte. It's pure milk product, no mixture of flour or anything.
We get it lost.
Yeah, but still, when they make it, they don't put any. Anyways, that's a different subject matter. But Ekadashi is the brother, it's for austerity. One should perform a little bit of austerity is required in spiritual life. It should not be like they have a precious, you know. One should control the senses, and that's what Bharat Maharaj did in the body of a deer. He ate only dry leaves. And then, it is mentioned, he was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the super soul. So there is always Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, so Krishna says that one who is serious, who is always constantly chanting his holy name, worshipping him, Krishna takes him the intelligence by which one can come back. And we see in the pastime of Bharata, he was given the intelligence of his pastime, even in the body of the earth, so that he can go back home, back to God. Because he was sincere, he was serious in his previous life. So Krishna gave him the intelligence so that he can come back. Krishna is sitting within the heart of the Chandra, the listening to his story. Mata Sarate Nana Mata Mancha. So Krishna says from him comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. So even if one wants to forget, one is the mercy of Krishna. So but Krishna gives the so Krishna is always associating with the devotee as supersoul. So it is mentioned, as it is mentioned, he was not alone. He was always alone with the supersoul. Supersoul was protecting him. In this way, he waited for death in that body. This is another very important point. He waited for death. He did not commit suicide. Imagine in a body of a deer, when you know you were king of the universe in a previous life, what kind of depression one would go through. Here in this life, we see people who go through depression just because of some material loss one goes through. But here, Bharat was king of the universe. He had everything. He was at the level of power. He was almost eligible for going back home, back to God. He was in pure love. And now he is in the body of a deer where he is not even able to express speech, mantra, or do anything. So what kind of a depression he can go into? But he waited for that. So this is very important. One has to tolerate in spiritual life, in our sadhana. We will get through different ups and downs. Ups is easy to tolerate, but when we go through the downtown, the time when it's not so good, it's very difficult. Especially like when you're already suffering through different means, and somebody comes and gives us some service which we don't like, or tells us something or corrects us, that time is very difficult to tolerate. But one has to, and Lord Brahma mentions this in Svet Tatheka, Tatheka Kampam, Susmikshamana, Puljana Yavarma, Pritam Vipakam, Ritva Bhagavad Vidhara Namaste, Jivetayo, Mokhtesa Deva. So one has got a right to, one tolerates the urges. One tolerates earnestly waits what is called to, for your mercy, cause this mercy upon you. And patient is suffering the reaction of his past mistakes. He's eligible. He's eligible to go back because it's his rightful claim. He's eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. So one has to tolerate. And that's what Bharata Maharaj did. He was waiting for death in the body of Jesus. And then he said, it is mentioned in the Constitution, bathing in that holy place. So regularly he was. Now this time he did not make the same mistake. He was performing his sadhana, whatever limited sadhana he could do in the body of Radhika. He continued with that sadhana, was regularly bathing in the holy. He remained in the holy place, in the association of the devotees, and he was bathing in the holy river. In the river. He was bathing there every day. So, and finally he gave up that body. By doing that, he gave up that body. He waited and tolerated and then finally gave up. There's a very important point in this last gave up this body is mentioned. For a devotee, there are different buddhipas mentioned, especially Satyananda Maharaj makes this point in most of his classes. The stimulus buddhipas. Buddhipas are the stimulus. So one has to make this environment in such a way that wherever he looks, he sees Krishna. So one of the ways is by associating always with devotees, residing in the temple, all those things are there. But even at home, one should create an environment that it is always reminding you. We have got Tulsita, we have got photographs of different places, the past and places of Krishna, we have got photographs of Krishna. So these are all our udipans which remind us, even if we become diverted when we are looking on the wall, sometimes we are not knowing anything. If there is a photograph of Giriraj, Govardhan or Yamuna or Radha Krishna, then immediately we remember of Radha and Krishna. So these udipans are very important. And Bhakti Murtaku mentions that the disease, death, birth, these are also udipans for a devotee. So by this, when one is born, I'm not sure if you all have explained, but when two of my children were born, I saw them when they were born, and it's a very different experience. When a child is born, it's not pleasant. I actually fainted the first time looking at that, because it's not a pleasing thing to look at. It's a very difficult situation, both for the mother and for the child. And it's the whole body of a child is in blood. Imagine that situation, helpless situation, it is crying, he cannot breathe, he has to force to breathe. Literally, the birth was not, if you know what forceps is, they had to pull with the tongs. The body of a child has been pulled with the tongs, and it's so forceful, you can't even tolerate that. So it's not easy thing. But for a devotee, it is mentioned, it is udipan, because the devotee, Bhakti Murtaku puts in his poem, in his song, he said, the devotee in the womb prays to the Lord, please leave me from this burden, from this misery, and I will always remember you. So this is the udipan for a devotee, but for non-devotee, this is like birth is a miserable thing. I don't know why to celebrate birthdays, but it's a miserable thing. Death, even for a devotee, now we see here, Bharata Maharaj is going through that, but he waited for that. So devotees, for them, it's just a change of body, because they know their next life is going to be a better destination. So, if this is, Bhakti Narada Thakur mentioned, for a devotee, this is the validation for him to increase his devotion. Is I remember most of the good realization of when I became serious in my reading was in the hospital. So I've been to hospital a few times, and there's one incident I would say, many incidents have been there. Like once I was in a hospital bed, and next to me there was a person who was continuously on the television. He had the races going on, horses going on. And I asked him once, I asked the nurse, why is he always, even in this night, he has this race going on and his horses are running. And he was the Melbourne Cup jockey. And 7 years ago, he fell off the jockey, off the horse, and his whole entire spine was broken into pieces. So he cannot stand or sit. But he still has got that consciousness of watching the, so he whole day just watches the horse races. But imagine the miserable situation. For him, like, there is no other means, because he cannot do anything, he cannot even raise his hands. His complete spine is gone. So he has to be fed, he has to be done, cannot do anything at this. But he still just wants to watch that. So this is the situation. When you look at this person, you realize one has to be serious in spiritual life. There was one person in the hospital, like, he was a chain smoker. And he wanted to smoke after every half an hour to 45 minutes. He needed to smoke. Otherwise, his whole body starts to shiver, and you can see in his body. But from 10 o'clock, I think, night, morning 6, you are not allowed to go out of hospital. So that is the time where he cannot smoke. And he goes to bed, but 3 o'clock he wakes up and starts walking here and there. At first day, I thought he was like a devotee. 3 o'clock waking up, very few people wake up at 3, especially in the Madrid district. So he was walking and I was thinking, you know, maybe this person, every morning 3 o'clock he wakes up. And I had a conversation with him once, early morning. And you can see he was shaking. And I asked him, are you okay? And he said, I need to smoke. If I don't smoke, I cannot live. Both the lungs, doctor said, if you keep continuing smoking, you will die in a, but he said, I cannot live without smoking. And then one day I was having this talk with him, a religious talk, and he was asking me how old I am and what happened to me. And I told him that I'm 40 and I have a heart problem. I asked him that, what happened. He said, and I was telling him that, one, we can die anytime. And he was saying, no, I'm just 51. I won't die. I'm too early to die. I'm too young to die. So that's how we, and then it was 6 o'clock and he ran outside. And then after 15-20 minutes or half an hour, the nurses came and packed his things. And I asked the nurse, what happened? Where did he go? He said, his lungs just collapsed downstairs and he passed out. So I just had that conversation with him just half an hour before, and he said, I'm too young to die. He just went down and he passed out. These are the things, as I said, when you go to hospital, you get a lot of realizations. And that is the time when I really can relate what's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. These are the Udipans actually. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions for the devotee, these are the Udipans, where they can look that this place is temporary, this is not a place for permanent residence. This is not where we apply for visa. We have to grow. And then if you are not, if you don't take the Udipans of birth, death, disease, there is one thing which will make you, force you to become serious, that is old age. Because in old age, one by one, all your appliances that you were putting your faith in, they start to break. And unfortunately, these appliances are irreparable. You cannot repair them. So these are, we should take it as Udipans, we should take it as a stimulus so we can see this in our bhakti. So finally, as it is mentioned, Bharat Maharaj gave up his body. Okay, I'll stop here. If there are any questions, comments, corrections. Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Dust of?
Dust of Vrindavan. It is still there and it will remain. So then, when I go over and finish thinking, so then one one time it will just be like gone.
Yeah, so before Giriraj goes, we should go as well. Mm. We should try to get out.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Just wondering what your reference was for Bhakti Guru Dhamma.
Which one?
You're saying that the population disease as stimulus of school service.
I didn't mention it here, but
thank you.
The one, he does not mention the birth and death, but he mentioned about the disease there.
Joy.